Good morning, church. Good to be with all of you. Praise the Lord this morning. I've said this often, and whenever she testified about her granddaughter and stuff, about being going, listen to me. They say that a child from the ages of 0 up to 7, that's whenever they actually, a lot of stuff is instilled in them. That's why I tell you it is important to have them in God's house and learn as much about God as they can learn, as much in church as they can learn in that time frame right there. And it's important. It is important. And I say that quite often, but I believe that 100%. You get them here. You get them in God. You get them hearing God's word, and you let them hear that. And just instill it in them, here, at home, wherever it may be. But you let them have it. And I'm telling you, because you know what? We need that. We need that in this country today. Praise God. You know, I'm going to be, Lord willing, preaching this morning from Psalms 105, 17 through 19, if you want to turn there. But also, I'll be over in James chapter 1 a little bit as well. But the scripture I'm going to read is going to be in Psalms first off. But there's a song we sing from time to time. It's called Keep on the Firing Line. We most of us know that song here. And there's verses in that song, and the writer said this, some things that will go along with my sermon this morning, the topic of it. And I want to read some of this morning. First off, if you win my brother, surely you must fight. That's one I'm in there. Another one says, a coward in the service will find no place. And lastly, the song says, God will only use the soldier he can trust. And I want to say this morning, this song is based on biblical principles. And I'm going to get into a little bit of it here shortly, but 2 Timothy 2, 2 and 4 says this, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Now, I'm going to tell you here this morning, I want to talk to you, we're going to keep on the firing line, amen? We got to keep on the firing line. So the Lord willing this morning, we're going to talk about a battle-tested faith. I want to talk about that this morning, and the scars that will sometimes come from the battle, amen? And we all know what we're saying. Psalms 105, I'm going to begin with verse 17. If you would, let's stand this morning. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord, say it with me, tried him. The word of the Lord tried him. I'm going to tell you right now, brother, you can raise your hands, Christians. Listen to me. You got scars. You've got battle scars. And praise God, it's not nothing we should be ashamed of. And we're going to talk about it a little bit this morning. Let's pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, Father, I want to thank you, Lord. I want to thank you for the opportunity we have to be in your house this morning. I want to thank you for all those that have gathered here this morning. I pray, Father, that, Lord, as this word goes out this morning, I pray that it goes and lands where you want it to land. I pray that, Lord, that the hearts will be open to it this morning, Lord, and we will praise you, and we will give you the glory for it all. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you. Now, I'm going to say something. I'm going to repeat it here a couple times right first here. Leaders and champions are never selected from the unscarred. Amen? Let me say it again. I want to say it again. I want you to understand this. Champions and leaders are never chosen by the hand of God from unscarred people. It isn't going to happen. Now, a battle-tested faith comes with scars left behind, but they're either physical or they're mental or whatever they may be. Every person that God ever used in the Bible, God put them to the test. He put them through the fire. He put them through the furnace. Amen? Anybody in the Bible that God ever used, I want you to understand this. To see if they would be true, to see if they'd be loyal, to see if they would do what he wanted them to do. Joseph died. What it says right here, Joseph died with scars around his ankles that were made by the leg arms, that because he was falsely imprisoned. You know, listen, he was betrayed by his family. He was sold into slavery, but he ended up second in command in Egypt and later saved his family and saved a nation from starvation. Moses went from being a prince in Egypt to being a fugitive in the desert. He eventually led a nation out of bondage. Job lost everything. We know that. He lost everything, his family, his wealth, his friends, but at the end of it, he gained more back than what he had in the beginning. Daniel was thrown into a lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into a literal blast furnace. David went from watching over his family's sheep to facing and defeating Goliath, running for his life from a jealous, unstable king. He later dealt with his own moral failures. We know this, but David did that. But with every battle, his faith and his leadership developed to the point where the Bible tells me and you that he was a man after God's own heart. Now let that sink in for just a little bit. He established probably the greatest period in Israel's history whenever he was king. Paul went from persecuting the early church, we know that, he said, to becoming the biggest target of those who wanted to destroy the church. He was beaten. He was stoned, he was shipwrecked, he had a constant physical issue that afflicted him until he was beheaded. But God used him to write the majority of the New Testament because the extreme adversity God taught him to be absolutely resilient and reliable upon God. And that resilience gave us scripture like 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness, but gladly, therefore, I'd rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Again, I want to repeat to you, leaders and champions are never selected from the unscarred. And I praise God for that here this morning. And how about the ultimate champion? What about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? How about him this morning? Jesus was laid in a barred tomb. He had 39 stripes upon his back. His hands and his feet were split open by the nails that they'd driven into them. The flesh on his forehead was ripped open because they placed a crown of thorns on his head. They stabbed him. The Romans stabbed him in his side with a spear. He was the lamb that was slain from the foundations of the world. And he is King of kings and Lord of lords. He stands on the right hand of God right now, making intercession for every one of us. You know, they talked about the devil. The devil's still making accusations against his people to this day. And I'm here to tell you, brothers, we have a Savior. Revelations 1:18, as Tim had said this morning, declares, he alone has authority over death, hell, and the grave. Him alone has that authority. He has the keys, and brothers, he's never given them up. Never. And the Bible tells us he's coming back someday to collect what's his. And I praise God for that. He's my Savior this morning. He's the one that saved my soul. And I praise God this morning for the scars that he took in his back and in his side. The brothers, he went to the cross so me and you wouldn't have to. And I praise God this morning with everything that's in me for that. Champions are never, ever chosen from the ranks of the unscarred. Let me bring it to today. It's May 17th, 2026. I don't know anything that some of you are going through right at this moment, but I know some that you've been through. I know what some of you faced down through your life. I know what my family and myself and my family have faced during our years of serving God. And you would probably say it just like I'm going to tell you this morning. What I have faced and what God has brought me through has shaped me to what I am today. Plain and simple. It has shaped me. There were times that I was absolutely had doubts and fears in my life. And every one of you could probably say the same thing. Did I handle every situation perfect? No, I didn't, Tim. No, I did not. And I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that I did. But the thing that I can say, and this is, I look back on all the times and all the trials and all the victories that me and that woman over there have had, and I can tell you this morning, I praise God for every scar, for every victory, for every trial that this whole boy's went through, because it's made me what I am today. God used us, every one of them, to make me. Pastor, you know what? He's made me a victor. He's made me a champion. And you can say, well, you know what? That sounds like you're kind of bragging. No, it's not. The Bible tells me, nay, in all things, I am more than a conqueror this morning. I am not standing up here. I am more than a conqueror this morning. He didn't say I will be. He said I am now more than a conqueror. And I praise his name for the scars that he has given me. And I'm going to tell you something. You will not get any scars if you didn't. You won't even have a victory if you don't go out to battle. You'll not have a victory if you're not willing to go out to battle. You're not going to have a scar if you don't willing to go out into the battle. You'll not have them. I think that not only makes me a champion, but it makes you one also this morning. One of the hardest scriptures in the Bible, and I'm going to get to it right now as a child of God to comprehend about trials and temptations, it's found in James chapter 1. And I want to read it together with you. James 1, it's chapter verses 2 through 4. And it says this, James is very blunt, by the way. If you read the book of James, he don't beat around the bush any. He's very blunt. And he says this. He said, my brethren, count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. You know what he's saying? He's saying, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials. I don't know about you, but there's times in my life I don't consider pure joy when I face trials. But brother, James is laying it out there. And what he's saying is, why? Why should we do that? Why? Because the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And you know what? Perseverance, when it is finished, it says it will make you mature. It'll make you complete, not lacking anything. I don't know about you. I don't think I'm to that point yet. Because sometimes in my life, I feel like I'm not. But praise God here this morning. I believe he's still working on me. He's still drawing me. He's still showing me how immature I am sometimes. But praise God, I'm getting better. I'm getting there. But you know what? It's taken a lot of prayer. It's taken a lot of me depending on the one that took the scars for me. What he is saying, without trials in a Christian's life, we will never develop into the mature Christian that God wants each and every one of us to be. As I look back on my life and seen all the people that I've known who have faced battles and the scars that they've taken on from these battles, they've been examples. They've been examples to me, not only of faith, but of perseverance, and they are overcomers. And I thank God for every one of them. I knew a gentleman at 14th Avenue by the name of Ken Rector. And when I think about Paul having a thorn in the flesh, I always go back to Ken. Ken fit that scripture to a T. He was suffering from a real bad form of the crippling arthritis. He was in pain. He had many surgeries to try to correct it and never did. He had on all kind of medications, but he was crippled. But you know what he did? He still worked. Up until he retired, he was a mail, he delivered mail. He did that up until he retired. And then he still come to church week after week after week, whenever, as long as he could make it into that church. He still come to church. He wasn't a leader in the church. He didn't stand up and talk all the time. But praise God, you know what? I seen the scars on his life. I seen the battles that he had. And he was true and faithful until he left this world. And praise God, one day I'm going to see Ken. And whenever I see him, he's going to be perfectly whole one day. And praise God, it's not going to have anything over him. The battle scars that he collected in this life will be over. Listen to me. I praise God for people like that. He wasn't, listen, but we have examples in this church here today. Listen to me. There are people in this church who have suffered unimaginable loss in their life. But some here this morning may be dealing with emotional and mental issues this morning. They may have dealt with them, and they may deal with them the rest of their life. They may be dealing with physical issues that they may deal with until God gives them the perfect healing. Anxieties, fears, and doubts. I'm telling you, they can grip people's life. Some here today are suffering from that. And you may not see their scars. You may not see it in their life. They picked it up and down through the years, but praise God, they are still battling. And the Bible tells me that with perseverance, brothers and sisters, you will become more mature as your life goes. Listen to me, they've never give up because they know, just like Paul, there's a better day coming. Listen to me, I know there's people in here who suffered many things, and they will never tell you, and they may never say a word to you about it. And I'm going to tell you here this morning, praise God, I watch them walk in this church every week. I watch them come in here, and they come in here, and they sit down on these pews, and they listen to this preacher up here once in a while. And they listen to the teaching, and they go out of here, and they come back next week, and praise God, one of these days there's going to be a complete healing in their life, and there's going to be a complete healing of the things that are going on in their life. But praise God, you know what? They never give up. Romans 8:18 says, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed unto us." Can you say with me, I'm looking for a better day? You do realize the only scars in heaven one day are going to be the ones that's on Jesus Christ. You do realize that? Because why? Because all the scars that we've collected and all the battles that we went through, we're going to be laying them down one day. And praise God, we're not going to have to worry about them anymore. But you know what? Jesus has to have those scars on him one day. Because you know why? How is the nation of Israel going to know that he's their Savior? Because of the scars on him one day. Praise God. And that's over in Zechariah, by the way. But one day they will know it. And I don't understand. And I don't stand here this morning making light of what's going on in your life. I would not ever do that. Or what has went on, because I know it's real in your life. I know what's going on because pain and suffering is real, because there is real heartache. There's real battles going on here this morning in people's life. And they, you know what? And not to understand what is wrong. Listen, because they will come. Understand that. Something I don't want us to miss in James 1:2. Read it with me again. It said, "My brethren, count it all joy when," not if, "when ye fall into different trials and different temptations." It's not when, it is. It's not if, it is when they come, because they are coming. Brother, James didn't say if you fall into different trials. He said that when you do, they're coming to you. Trials are coming. They're a part of this fallen world. They're a part of it. Circumstances, brokenness, dark valleys, hard seasons. It's all a part of living in this world. I wish I could make it all better for whatever's going on in your life. But listen to me, I can't. And listen, it's not going to happen on this side of eternity. Whatever you're facing, it's not going to, praise God. Listen, God can heal. Yes, he can. But sometimes the perfect healing comes whenever we go out of this world. We live in a fallen world where people get sick, even children. Amen? We live in a fallen world where the best love stories can end in heartbreak and a broken marriage. It happens. And it happens to a lot of people. We live in a fallen world where tragedy can take someone out of our lives just like that, in a heartbeat. We live in a fallen world. All these things can leave scars upon our lives. Whether we want to admit it or not, they can leave scars. And these scars are inevitable. But what we can do with them is up to us. What we do with those scars is up to us. We can carry them. Listen, you can choose. I want to say this. You can choose to live in darkness the rest of your life. But you know what? The Bible wants us to be children of the light. Amen? He wants me and you to be that. Because conflict is inevitable. Combat is optional. Amen? Amen? You know, we're that way. Are you willing to put on the whole armor of God today? Are you willing and go out to battle every day? Are you willing to do that? Jesus put it this way in Luke 9:23. He said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." How many of you know what daily means? It means every day. It means every day. It's not, well, I'll just do it on Sunday, and then Monday and Tuesday I'll be okay, and then I'll pick it back up again Wednesday. Then we'll do it. No. He said, pick up your cross and follow me every day. Jesus knew the cross was an example of suffering and pain. He knew that. He knew exactly what he meant when he said that. Every day until he calls us home. Be ready to go out to battle. Be ready when you go out to battle, to collect the scars that's going to come with it. Trials are not meant to break us. Did you know that? These trials are not meant to break us. They are designed to reveal our character. Amen? They are designed. And faith, when we are faced with conflicts, our true nature can be revealed as a Christian. When we are faced with the conflicts of this world, our true nature can be revealed. Do we trust God, or do we try to rely on our own strength? I'm going to tell you, there's been times in my life I've failed that. I tried to rely on my own strength. I don't know about you. I'll be honest with you. I have tried. It doesn't work very well. It doesn't work well. Do we remain faithful, or do we grumble and complain? The battles and trials we face will do one of two things in our life. They will either make you or they will break you. That's what's going to happen. One thing's for sure, the battles and trials in our life will always transform us for the good or for the bad. Let me leave you with two examples here this morning of being tested and how they reacted. First off, I want to talk about Peter. And Peter failed. He failed miserably. All of us in here, if we want to be honest with ourselves, we have failed miserably sometimes in our life. Peter did. He failed. He even denied knowing Jesus. We know that. But he took that lesson of failure to go on and become the leader of the church, of the early church. Peter took that. He took that lesson of failure, and he used it for his advantage. He was there the day that the power of the Holy Spirit fell upon the church. He was there. He preached a sermon, and all those people were saved. Listen, he wrote two books in the New Testament, even becoming a martyr. And history tells us, the Bible doesn't tell us this, but history tells us that Peter was going to be crucified, and he was crucified upside down because he didn't think he deserved to be crucified the same way Jesus was. That's Peter. That's an example of someone taking a failure in their life. They went out to battle, but they didn't take that lesson. But he did. And then there's another person. I want to talk about Demas. Paul talks about him in three different places in the New Testament. Over in Colossians 4:14, he says, "Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas, we greet you." Then in Philemon 1:23 and 24, "Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. And so do Mark, Archurius, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers." He said that about Demas. And then Paul finished it up in 2 Timothy 4:10 when he said this, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Christian to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia." Demas departed. He'd forsaken him because he loved this world more than he did serving the Lord. Can I tell you something here this morning? Listen to me. The battle is going to rage in your life sometimes. You have a choice. You can be Paul or you can be Demas. And I'm here this morning to tell you, listen to me. Jesus said, the Bible said, those that are faithful to the end. Amen? Those that are faithful to the end. Can I tell you something here this morning as I get a song? Don't know your life. Here's the stories this morning. I know, like I said, I know some of them. But I can tell you this. You're sitting here this morning. You know what? You're going through a battle. You're going through a battle in your life right now. I don't know what it is. I have no idea what it is. But God knows what it is. Maybe you got a lot of scars going on right now. And maybe those scars are, holding you back. I don't know. But can I tell you something? Come up here and give it to Him at this altar. Come up here and give it to Him at this altar. Because He's the one that, you know what, you can give it to. He can do the fighting for you. Amen? We get a song.